Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long handling things behind the scenes. And at 5:45 this afternoon, we'll have on our Bet 365 triple option feature. We're going to kind of go around the NFC South and see what's the measuring stick for the Tampa Bay Bucks, Carolina Panthers, Atlanta Falcons. We'll have that on with you for the next 2 hours. Talking still NFL draft, and that's still a hot topic all across America, so to speak. I got 7 shows today to prove it's still a hot item that I've been able to do. And then today here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Charlie, last night we talked about LSU playing Southeastern, and it really was Scott Sanders' comment that if Southeastern, he thought, could hang with them, but if they gave up runs early, it was going pecan. Well, guess what happened? They gave up back-to-back home runs, Derek Curiel, and then Jared Jones, and then end of story, and then Ethan Frye, he blasted the grand slam to seal the deal in the 10-run rule. But it was a dominant hitting performance by the Tigers in a 15-2 win over Southeastern. Also, their pitching came through for them.
Yeah, right off the bat, Mike. I mean, back-to-back home runs by Curiel and Jones. And then you put up that 4 spot in the first inning, and it's a great point from Scott Sanders that had, you know, the starter Ambrose for Southeastern gotten out of the first without any kind of issues, it could have been a tight contest. But this is something that LSU has done all season, really, in the midweek. Like, last week's game against Northwestern State was a mirage. It was the lightning delay, and they came out flat afterwards. Outside of that, LSU is taking care of business in the midweek all season long. And Jay's talked about how focused his team has been with every opponent that they've faced. And they were definitely focused last night against Southeastern, getting off to a 4-0 start. And really, at that point, it was kind of cruise control from there. William Schmidt was solid on the mound, Mike. The freshman pitcher, 3 1/3 innings pitch, 4 hits allowed, 2 earned runs. 7 strikeouts in the performance against a good Southeastern offense. He's going to be one of those names because when you put him side to side with like Kate Anderson's freshman year, I saw this from Inside LSU Baseball on social media earlier today. They have very similar freshman campaigns, and we'll see if William Schmidt can find that extra gear to be really useful once you get into postseason play for LSU. But he had a good showing last night. You know, Jaden Newt continues to be really stellar out of the bullpen for LSU, and we'll see if he has a role on the weekends. It was just an all-around good performance. Offense, pitching staff, defense, just clean. A 15-2 run rule victory.
Charlie, I had a baseball friend of mine tell me this today. You wish you could somehow cork it in a bottle and say, okay, I'm going to save this because we might need some of these runs, you know, over the weekend when you play Texas A&M. That's not how baseball is, but you saw the onslaught. And again, man, Jared Jones shows why. He is such an intimidating hitter when he steps up to the plate. And the freshman, Curiel. Wow. Every time he steps up there, he's like, this guy does not play like a freshman. he is like a seasoned vet out there. And early on when he got off to the hot start, that was everybody's kind of dialogue. Okay, he's gotten off to a hot start. How will he play when he goes up against Southeast Conference people? Well, he's done really well there, too. Last night, it wasn't against a Southeast Conference team, but, man, Southeastern had really played some good baseball.
Yep.
And you see the talent that's on this baseball team today with Curiel and with a guy like Jared Jones, where, for me, okay, I'm going to play it old school. I'm not giving him nothing to hit. If you got to take a base, take the base. But I'm not letting you pop one out of here like he's been able to do. He did it against Tennessee in certainly a crucial moment to win that game. But I think when you look at everything this season for the Tigers, hasn't it been, one, the growth of Jared Jones as a hitter, but what impact the freshman have made on this LSU Tiger baseball team?
1,000%, Mike. And Curiel has just been entrenched in the leadoff position for months at this point. And I think if you date back to just that Sunday game, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's 9 straight plate appearances that he's reached base right now. 9 straight, if you include his hits and his walks, because he went 2-for-2 last night with 2 walks. He was 4-for-4 in the finale against Tennessee, which ended up being another run rule victory. Funny enough, if you go back to the last 3 wins that LSU's picked up, they've all been via walk-off. So that's kind of fun as well, entering this weekend at Bluebell Park. But Mike, as we've talked about with Texas A&M, you know, I mentioned in the Sports Flash, they've been on a roller coaster ride this year. I mean, you start out as the preseason number 1 ranked team. You're bringing back all this talent. You lose one of your star players in Gavin Grahovac very early on in the season due to injury. You get off to a 1-9 start in SEC play. And then you just rattle off 10 wins in 11 games, including a series victory at Tennessee and at Arkansas, who was then number 1 and then number 2 in the country at that point. They've been very strange, but they kind of been surging recently. They lose 3 straight 1-run games to Texas this past weekend. But this is not really the time you want to be catching Texas A&M, unfortunately, when it seems like they've kind of figured some things out.
Charlie, one of the things in covering sports for this long, as I have, is that when you lose a star player, the impact that it makes quickly, and we saw it early with A&M, that 1-9 start. And then, you know what? It's like, hey, we got to finish this season. We got to get, we got to get into the playoff system, so to speak. There's nothing we can do about the injury. But I do think there's always that overlap. This is why this next man up stupidity that gets repeated, and I get why coaches say it. I don't understand why media says it, and I understand coaches and players in the locker room saying it, but, the fans repeat it too. My thing is, when you lose a star player, that is a big hole, and it does take a while for your team to find another way to win. And I think that was the case with the Aggies early on in the season.
Yeah, Mike, the thing about Texas A&M as well is that this weekend is supremely important to them. They're 8-13 in SEC play, right? And we've talked about, and we mentioned this basically all throughout the second half of SEC play last year, because LSU was trying to get to that number after digging an early hole, that like 13 SEC wins should get you into the postseason. Right now, once again, they're 8-13 in SEC play. They have a weekend series against Mizzou coming up, which you can almost book for 3 wins because Mizzou is 0-21 in SEC play. They've been horrible this year, which gets you to 11, right? But then you wrap up the season if you're Texas A&M at Georgia. Georgia's, as you know, Mike, a team that's on the rise with Coach Wes Johnson, and they're not an easy team to play, especially on the road. So if you're Texas A&M, you're looking at this series against LSU saying, can we win this series? Can we take 2 or 3 from the number 2 ranked team in the country? Because they've done it in back-to-back weeks with Arkansas and Tennessee. If they can take 2 or 3 from LSU at home, they're thinking that they're going to be a lock to make it to the postseason.
Charlie, I think the biggest surprise in the SEC is how quickly Wes Johnson was able to sort of retool and rebuild the Bulldogs roster in baseball. Because when he took that job, a lot of people kind of shook their head. Man, this is difficult. Georgia puts a lot of resources, certainly in football. Would they be doing the same thing in baseball? You got your answer. It's yes. And Wes Johnson, he's one hell of a manager.
Yeah, no, he's been awesome. they were a team that could have made it to Omaha last year. They fell just short in his first year there, but that was kind of the tone setter. And they've kind of built upon that this year as well. They've been a little bit up and down too. They're more on the upper end of the middle of the pack of SEC in conference play, but they're not an easy team to play. So if you're Texas A&M, as I mentioned, this weekend is super important to them after getting swept at Texas. They're looking to try and win both of these home series to close out the year, and then they would be looking at a potential postseason bid.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 8-7. We have on with us from Fox Sports. He covers the NFL. Greg Allman will be on with us to talk NFC South and certainly a lot about the defending four-time NFC South champ, the Tampa Bay Bucks, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, he covers the NFL for Fox Sports, Greg Allman. Greg, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Greg, right off the bat, I'll ask you your comments on the Saints draft and getting the big left tackle in Kelvin Banks Jr. And then getting what they think is probably their quarterback of the future in Tyler Shuck in round two.
Yeah, Banks, I think to put your top pick into an offensive tackle 2 years in a row is a commitment, you know, to kind of making the offense better from the ground up. So I like that. It kind of concedes that Penning isn't the guy. But, you know, Banks is somebody that, you know, was right there with Campbell as, you know, for a lot of people, the best tackles in this class. Certainly, you know, big physical presence. So to be able to start your offensive line with those two can be what should be a strength of this team moving forward. Shuck surprised me. I think everybody everywhere was expecting Sanders to be a pick somewhere. So it's hard. I mean, I think to see what Tyler's done this past year has really helped himself. It's hard to be somebody that doesn't do much in college football for 6 years and turns that into being a second round draft pick. So it seems like he's doing, saying all the right things to come in. I think he probably has a good chance right now. You think about with all the uncertainty around Carr and his shoulder. They've kind of drafted half measures at quarterback. You keep kind of taking mid-round picks in that position. It can be tough sometimes. So you have Hayner, you have Rattler, now you have Shuck. There's a decent chance. You kind of always want to lean toward the most recent investment if you're not sure who's going to get the job. So it feels like it's his to lose. I think if they can be a little healthier on offense, keep Olave healthy, keep Rashid healthy, that'll go a long way towards helping him have some talented options to throw to and make life easier for him.
Greg, when I look at the roster today, there are still two holes for the Saints. I would think that they would try to have to add to that before the season starts. And that's one, they do not have a big man receiver. All their receivers are around 6 foot tall. And the other part is at cornerback. While they have signed some nickel dime type guys and they've played a lot of that, for me, you've got Kool-Aid McKinstry and you got Alante Taylor. And so after that, I think this team has to go out and try to get them a veteran corner and a big man receiver before we hit September.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think, you lose a lot of more and you really haven't replaced him. I think when they took Kool-Aid a year ago, it certainly seemed like a guy that would be an heir apparent to him. Receiver depth in general, probably is something they got to work on. I think you have two, and when they're healthy, they're a strong two, but they haven't been healthy, and there's not a lot behind them. So I agree. Some size would be nice. It's not something you just stumble upon in midsummer. So, I don't know who – there's not an obvious – oh, this guy is out there. But again, I think they reworked a lot of contracts to create some cap room. And like you said, I think the best way to do that now is to figure out the positions you weren't able to address the way you wanted to in the draft and try and, spackle over the weak spots with signings before camp starts.
Greg, one of the things, NFC South, four-time champ, Tampa Bay Bucks, and no one in the NFC South has drafted as well as they have over the last 5 years. They've done a great job, and basically almost every pick they've made over the last 4 years is on the roster somewhere. So that goes to show you they've had a real eye for talent and what I would call a soft rebuild because of what happened salary cap-wise. You threw all the chips in for Tom Brady and Gronkowski and Ndamukong Suh, and you can kind of name them off, all the veterans they brought in. And then in round one, you pick Amika Buka from Ohio State. Now, that's, to me, a guy that I think he can step off that campus at Ohio State, and he's going to make an immediate impact for the Buccaneers at wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a pick that it probably surprised a lot of people. I think most people thought they'd go defense just because that's where their kind of most glaring needs were positionally. But Abuka's a guy they really liked. I mean, had a top 10 grade on, didn't even want to think about trading down because they didn't want to risk not getting him. Comes from just an insanely good receiver room at Ohio State. I mean, Brian Hartline, Abuka was a teammate of Olave, going back to his first year. Played with Olave, played with Jackson Smith and Jigba, played with Marvin Harrison, played with Jeremiah Smith. There's about five elite Garrett Wilsons in there, too. Just a crazy amount of talent that he played with. I think he reminds them a lot of Chris Godwin, has a lot of the same attributes, size, speed, physicality, willingness to block, and a lot of the same demeanor and maturity off the field, too. So they feel really excited about it. It's a weird thing sometimes when a team adds to a strength. But if you think about the fact that Godwin's coming off a major injury, Mike Evans is 31, might not have too many elite years left in him, I think they see it as a really good investment long-term in the future of the franchise.
And Greg, you kind of talked about it there with Emeka, but he was always kind of overshadowed at Ohio State, but he was so steady. I mean, steady Eddie. And it just feels like Jason Light once again did it with this draft class, because after that, you mentioned that you thought they were going to address defense early, but then they go second round, Benjamin Morrison. His medicals are obviously a big deal, the hip injury or the hip surgery that he had, but the cornerback out of Notre Dame, supremely talented in the second round. Jacob Parrish, the cornerback from Kansas State in the third round. David Walker, the edge from Central Arkansas, who put up tons of production at the FCS level. And then Elijah Roberts, the edge from SMU, back-to-back-to-back-to-back picks, all spent on the defense. And it just feels like they hit a lot of really solid players, unfortunately for Saints fans.
Yeah, I've been actually surprised to see how well-received the draft has been. It's a draft I liked, but, I mean, they're getting A grades from a lot of sites. I think SI said they're the most improved teams in the NFL, the most improved team in the NFL in the draft. Just hit a lot of needs, got a lot of speed at sizes where you don't necessarily expect speed. You know, it's one of those where there's a lot of positions where they're still leaning on guys that were really central in their Super Bowl run, and they've got to eventually find successors to those. So, you know, I think you talked about their draft history, and I think obviously part of the reason they drafted well is because they kind of had to. You know, in that post-Brady period there where you didn't have a lot of money to spend on free agency, you need to hit on your draft picks if you want to keep contending and competing at a high level. But that's what they've been able to do.
One of the things, Greg, I look at Atlanta, and we talk about kind of throwing all the chips in. Jalen Walker, for me, was a surprise. I did not think he would get there at 15. I thought he was a top 10 pick. I didn't think he'd get past Carolina. I do know who the general manager is there, and I know what position he played. So he drops just a tad, goes to 15. He feels a huge need for the Falcons because he'll play that off-ball linebacker for a couple downs, and then he'll play the Sikkim guy rushing the quarterback. But what they gave up to gain James Pierce Jr., who from a talent standpoint, no one's questioning if he's a first-round pick guy, but also, maybe his temperament, maybe things that happened at Tennessee that got leaked out, dropped him into the lower part of round one, and they gave up a first-round pick for next year to get him.
Yeah, I've yet to really find somebody that likes that or understands that or is impressed by that. I mean, I think I really thought edge was an absolute need for the Falcons, and I'm like you. I was impressed and surprised that Walker fell to them, and it felt like he was a great pick there. But yeah, Pierce, I don't even know if Pierce would have been my guy to trade up for at edge there. You know, Ezeraku was still there. I think Mike Green was still there. There's some off-field concerns that come with that. But yeah, Pierce, to talk to the people that know the most about the draft, he's a guy that had very middling reviews, you know, and not in a good way. So this could be a pick that worked out really well. I think you could see Atlanta easily have their top two sack guys be those two rookies. But there's not a whole lot else to that draft. I mean, they had already traded away some picks. It's a five-player draft class. You got two safeties. You got the only offensive pick is a seventh-round tackle. So it's not going to be a very deep class. And this is a team that probably needs a little more help talent-wise if they're going to keep up and kind of hold their position. It puts a lot on Michael Penix, and he's really got to step up and be, you know, an impact quarterback the same way all those other rookies were last year. He's got to do that kind of as a redshirt freshman this year, if you will.
Greg, he's got the weight of the world on his back, I'll be honest, and he's going to have to play a big part in this. McMillan going at 9 to Carolina, and he was one of the few in this draft class that it was what you want to call a big man receiver. He gave you that great size. He's a contested catch receiver. I haven't watched him at Arizona. He's a get up in the air and catch it. Now, here's the thing in talking to people, and even with my grades with him, I thought he was more of a teens pick. I had some people that didn't even have him into the 20s as a grade, and yet I had some friends of mine said he's top 10. It goes to show the variance in how you grade out players. But McMillan, of the first-round picks that I really liked, he had the biggest variance of anybody in that, say, top 20.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good pick. I think it's something that Carolina needs. It's a strange to put your top pick into a receiver 2 years in a row. But I think he can help them more than Leggett did last year. I think he'll be their number one receiver. Honestly, we were talking about the Saints needing a big receiver. I mean, if he had fallen to 9, I wouldn't have felt bad if the Saints took him there at 9. So, you know, for Carolina, it's one of those where I think, you know, they're trying to maximize Bryce Young right now. They're trying to, you know, put a number one overall pick into a quarterback. You know, you got to kind of make them, hey, well, he's on that rookie deal. He's not costing you $40, $50 million a year. And you want to maximize that by giving him talent to throw to. So I think they've done that. I think they've improved the kind of the protection in front of him. I still don't know where they are defensively. They've got a lot of new faces, but I don't know if they're going to be hugely better on that side of the ball. But no, I like McMillan, and I like, you know, they got some edges there. For a while there, it looked like the entire division could, you know, put their first pick or a high draft pick into edges because they all had needs there.
Every one of them. Every one. Greg, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy your insights, and appreciate you coming on with us this afternoon.
Oh, no problem. Thanks again. You guys take care.
All righty. Greg Allman, who does a great job covering the NFL for Fox Sports. And we come back, he's the pregame host for the Carolina Panthers, Nick Carboni. He'll join us to talk about the Carolina Panthers and how many needs they filled in this draft class. And Greg's right. Man, this is all about Bryce Young and making it work in Carolina if they're going to make a move up in the NFC South. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he's the pregame host for the Carolina Panthers, also sports director at WCNC out in Charlotte, Nick Carboni. Nick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
How's it going, Mike? How's it going, Charlie?
Doing great, Nick. Thank you. In round one, it kind of went as planned. And then the Panthers come up to pick. And so Deuce looked at me and he's like, Mike, come on. It got to be your boy Walker. And, you know, okay, thinking about it, you know, that was what Dan Morgan had played. I knew about his leadership skills, how he kind of controlled the locker room with Georgia. I said, man, this is going to be 8 in a row here, okay? We're going to get that, and then the Saints will come up to pick. And I knew it would derail after that. But the first 7 picks went right. How surprised, or were you surprised, that they went with McMillan over Jalen Walker?
Yeah, absolutely. And for all the reasons you just mentioned. Now, you kind of mentioned a plan. Well, turns out Dan Morgan's plan this entire time was to pick Tetairoa McMillan, the receiver, over the linebacker, Jalen Walker. I think the only thing that would have changed that is if Mason Graham were still available. But that was kind of the other surprise in those first 7 picks was the Browns-Jags trade. And then the Browns make a smart pick, in my opinion, and a defensive tackle that can help them long term. I thought he may be, you know, it'd be interesting if you got Dan Morgan to really open up and be, you know, 100%, if you gave him some truth serum, if Graham were still available, if they were so hot on this receiver, would they have picked Graham? Because, I mean, you guys know it, especially from the first game last year, this Panthers defense was horrible. They were historically bad. Now, they made some improvements in free agency up front, and Derek Brown, who got injured in that New Orleans game, should be back and healthy this season. But by no means was Dan Morgan, former Pro Bowl linebacker for Carolina, going to watch that for 17 games, add a couple of pieces in free agency, and kind of wipe his hands clean of it and say we're done. So they basically did what we all thought they would do in reverse order. We knew they needed a receiver to add to the complement of receivers they have, which is steadily getting better as a room over the last 2 or 3 years. And we knew they needed defensive help specifically on the edge and getting after the quarterback. But we all thought they would get that last part first and that first part second. So they kind of just flipped it. And Dan Morgan told us, he said, look, I didn't really think any of the receivers we could get on day two were good enough to add to that room and help Bryce Young. So he got a guy that can absolutely help Bryce Young. And then they double dipped on Friday, and that was probably their best day of the draft, where they traded up a couple of times and picked two first-team All-SEC edge rushers. And so if those guys work out, and obviously if McMillan works out, it was a heck of a draft for Dan Morgan.
Man, the pressure to whirl, we talked to Greg Allman about this in our last segment, and the pressure to whirl on certainly from a Panther standpoint is on the back of Bryce. I mean, because now, you entering year three, you've got him another weapon. You used the early pick last year on Leggett. But my thing is, are you concerned about how well they can run the ball? Because I always think that is a quarterback's best friend. When he has got a running game going for him, and he doesn't have to make a throw when it's third and three. I can run the football and get it. I think that's such a great advantage with the Eagles, with their offensive line. And listen, taking nothing away from Saquon, but that offensive line's really good. And I look at the Panthers. Is that, to you, a major question mark still today? Because the guy they thought maybe would be the guy now sustains another knee injury in Brooks.
Yeah, I actually think they will be better at running the football next year than they were this year. And they had, you know, spots this year where they were pretty good at it. Last offseason, this front office invested in two just big old guards and paid them a bunch of money, in Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. Hunt was a Pro Bowler, and you could probably argue by the metrics that Lewis should have been too. He's just kind of a quiet guy. And Chuba Hubbard went off for 1,000 yards. But the problem was, after Chuba Hubbard, there wasn't much in the cupboard. There was Jonathan Brooks, as you mentioned, who showed just a couple of quick flashes after he came off his knee injury in about November and then re-tore that ACL. So this offseason, and this probably flew under the radar a little bit, maybe not in Dallas because I think Cowboys fans are still wondering what the heck happened, but the Panthers picked up Rico Dowdle, another 1,000-yard back in Dallas. So I think they feel really good about the line. And I know, I think people still think the Panthers' offensive line is as bad as it was 2 years ago. It actually isn't. They vastly improved last year in pass protection and the run game. So I think they actually come in with a pretty good plan to run the ball. Dave Canales has hammered it home. That's what he wants to do. Didn't do it as much as, you know, he kind of led us to believe he would last year. But I think with those two backs and that offensive line returning, he's definitely going to try to turn to it a little bit more this year. And they drafted another running back in the ETN kid from Georgia. I'm not sure how much of an impact he'll have right away, but he may make up for some of the depth. But I think with Dowdle and Hubbard and that offensive line, I think they are really going to try to have the run set up the pass this season.
Nick, you kind of stole the thunder. I was going to ask you about Trevor Etienne. I saw him in high school at Jennings, and, you know, he follows Billy Napier at the University of Florida, puts up some nice numbers there. He's part of a rotation, and that'll be the same thing with the Panthers.
Yeah.
With Hubbard, and depending on what else you got to roll. But I think he's a guy that can help you and help you quickly. He is a short, squatty power back. He's a one-cut, get-up-the-field. He does have an extra gear in space. And also, he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. I used to tease his brother, Travis, who's really turned out to be a great receiver. But, man, when he was in high school, he couldn't catch a cold if he was naked in Russia. Nothing. And he really worked at it and became a really good receiver. Trevor has always been able to catch the football well. I think you got somebody there that can really help your Panthers in the backfield.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think he does give them a bit of a change of pace. And a lot of Panthers fans were a little bit, you know, if they had to nitpick the draft at all, that's where they would go, drafting Trevor in the fourth round. But, you know, it's the NFL these days, you need more than one guy. You need more than two guys.
Yep.
And I think he gives them a bit of a change of pace. He gives them a third down option if he could block in the NFL. So we'll see about that. You know, Chuba Hubbard's worked hard on his receiving game. He just doesn't really come naturally to him. I think Dowdle's got a little bit of it, but I think they'd love a guy like ETN, and that's why they drafted him, to kind of provide that, you know, extra dimension when Bryce Young is going to need it the most and have an outlet for him. So, you know, I don't hate the pick at all. And obviously he's got the pedigree, and he comes from a big program. You look at this draft for the Panthers, it was big-time athletes from big-time programs, and ETN certainly fits that mold.
So, Nick, you kind of talked about it, that the Panthers threw the first quote-unquote curveball of the draft by taking, obviously, Tet McMillan with the eighth overall pick. But I think the Panthers did a lot of really good things on day three. And I know that a lot of Saints fans were excited about their day three picks, but just looking at Lathan Ransom, the safety from Ohio State, a very productive player at college for the Buckeyes. Cameron Jackson, a former Hainesville Golden Tornado right in our backyard here in Louisiana, a big Florida nose tackle at basically in the fourth round. And then later on, Notre Dame tight end Mitchell Evans. Mike and I always talk about building through the strengths of a draft. And obviously the tight end class was great this year, grabbing one late as well. And then wrapping it up with Colorado wide receiver Jimmy Horn and with a 208th overall pick. Your thoughts on those day three selections? Because I think, you know, top to bottom, yes, it was a surprise early on, but Carolina did a lot of really good things throughout the weekend.
Yeah, and I think they were very precise throughout their entire draft with filling needs. And, you know, by the time you get to that sixth or seventh round, as you guys know, it's basically like, all right, we're going to draft some special teams gunner here and call it a day. But, you know, I think with all the guys you just mentioned, with the safety, I mean, he's a guy, this safety room is pretty big. They got as many people as they're talking on this call right now. I think they've got three in the room. So they needed somebody else to come in and provide an impact right away. They signed a pretty good up in the box safety and Trayvon Merrig from the Raiders in free agency, but they lost their, you know, bigger names, I guess. But, you know, guys that really at the end of the day didn't make much of a difference when it came to the performance of the defense. So they get the safety. They've been looking for a tight end since Greg Olsen. They think maybe the kid from Texas they got last year, JT Sanders, can be a good receiving tight end. But I really believe they think this kid from Notre Dame can develop into that and also be a good inline blocker. Cam Jackson, the defensive tackle you mentioned, I mean, stopping the run has been this team's issue, especially last year. He's a guy that can step in on first and second downs and get that done. And then I'm very intrigued by the Jimmy Horn Jr. pick. I mean, we saw him flash with Shedeur Sanders at Colorado, despite being overshadowed by Travis Hunter, but he's got some speed. That is what that room needed. And he can he has some return capabilities as well. And he's a little guy, but he's not afraid to go over the middle. So I think they were very precise in this draft. They didn't go and grab the big names beyond McMillan that, you know, you may have seen fall to the second round, but they feel really good about the different types of players they got and in the spots they got them.
Nick got brought to Hainesville High School, and I'd never been there before, never watched Hainesville High School play in their own stadium. I ain't never seen so many dudes with cowboy hats on in my life. Man, I swore I was at a rodeo, but it was actually a football game. And if Cam can keep his weight down, you got somebody that can help you. The problem with him has been at times he's let his weight get out of control, and then you limiting him play-wise. But if they can keep his weight down, he's got a chance to really help you in run defense. And I think the Panthers might be a sneaky pick to kind of upset some people in the NFC South this year.
Yeah, and listen, with Jackson, I think that's exactly right. If he can fit, they don't need him to go and be Charles, you know, Chris Johnson or, you know, Chris Jones. They need him to step in on first and second down when needed and just plug it up and, you know, get the ball carrier down to start a series off right for the defense. That has literally been their biggest problem. And when it comes to the Panthers surprising people, I think they almost did that a few times last year when Bryce Young had his resurgence. I mean, they came real close to beating Philly. They came real close to beating Kansas City. You know, so you're talking about the Super Bowl teams. They went toe-to-toe with those guys with a limited roster and a quarterback that was just kind of figuring things out. So the other thing you got to remember with Bryce Young, he had such a rough start in his career just in terms of his support system. I mean, the coaching staff under Frank Reich, and that only lasted 11 games, and it completely fell apart. And he was hearing different things from different people. Coaches were going to the owner and telling him how Bryce Young's footwork should be. I mean, it was an absolute mess. He obviously got off to a horrible start last year, but I give credit to Coach Dave Canales for, you know, basically sitting him and letting him figure it out. And boom, he has a great 8-9 games to finish the season and convinces the Panthers that he's their guy, so much so that they went out and got him a receiver in the first round. So I absolutely think that as long as this team gets off to a good start, they are going to keep improving, you know, from their 5 wins last year and at least be competitive towards the end of the year to build something for 26.
They got it right with the head coach. Canales is a absolutely damn good coach. Really, really is. Nick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. Thank you.
All right, y'all. Have a good offseason. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Nick. All righty. Nick Carboni does pregame for the Carolina Panthers. Keeps Jake DeLome in line.
There you go.
With Carolina. He's also the sports director for WCNC-TV out in Charlotte and also works for WFNZ in Charlotte, which is an Odyssey station. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DiTiglio along with Charlie Long. We come back, we'll have on with us D. Orlando Ledbetter, who's covered the Falcons almost as long as I've covered sports in Louisiana. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.